I'd like to share with you something that the Lord's been dealing with me about this week. If I could put a title to what I want to share with you, the title would be Adore the Plan. And I looked at the definition of adore. To regard with utmost esteem and respect. To address with exalted thoughts. Adore the Plan. And this song came to me through the week with a subject that I was looking at. Song number 321, We Will Work for Jesus. A verse of it says, we will work for Jesus and adore the plan that exalteth so a fallen race, joining with the Savior, doing what we can to extend the wonders of His grace. What plan are we talking about? Really, it's a plan of salvation. But I want to get specific with a plan today that we want to adore the plan that if this plan were followed, it would exalt a fallen race.
Yes.
And I want to look at that today. The plan that I want to talk about today and us to review again is God's plan for families. Today is Mother's Day. Part of the plan that God had for families. And it's a day set aside for us to honor that part of the plan. And I'm thankful for it. What I want to look at for a little bit is this was the plan that God put in place. And it would exalt a fallen race if they would follow it. Here's what I got to thinking about. Here's the plan that God has laid out for a family. If followed, here's the benefits. You know, there's a verse that says, daily He loads us with benefits. Those benefits come from following the plan. You know, my work has benefits if I'll follow the plan. If I'll do the things that they want me to do and continue my employment there, it has some benefits that goes with it. I want to tell you, the family plan that God has some benefits that goes along with it.
Yeah.
Our nation, and maybe the world, has multiple plans available today. Multiple plans that you can follow. And if you look on your phone and you're searching for an emoji to send a little picture to somebody, maybe it's a thumbs up or a smiley face or something. If you take a look on there, you will see the multiple plans that our world now gives for families. You will still see, if you want to show a man and a woman in love, you'll still see a man and a woman with a heart. But right next to it, you'll see two women with a heart. You'll see two men with a heart. You'll also see the traditional a man and his wife and a child. But you'll also see right up next to it, you can pick this other option. It's two women with a child. It's two men with a child. And as I looked at that, I thought of a verse and I'd like for us to go to it. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. You know what? Traditional family is the old paths. It says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You know what? I believe that verse is right on target for families today. You ask for the old path. You ask the Lord, what was your plan for a mother, for a father, for a child? And you follow that in your life, and you're going to find rest for your soul. But there are some folks that said, we will not walk therein. You know, there's people today with the plan for families. They have chosen, that's not the route that I will take. Well, as I was looking at that, I thought of a story in the Bible. Do you remember when the Philistines had been in a battle with Israel? Israel should never lose if they were following God. But at this time, they were not following God. And they had taken the ark into battle because surely we will win if the ark is there. You know, it doesn't matter about the ark if God's not there with it. And God was not there with it. And the Philistines won the battle. Not only won the battle, they took the ark with them. Here is the Israelites' God. You remember the story? They took it into the house of their god, Dagon. And they set it up beside it. Here's their god. Here's our god. Next morning, they come back. And their god is laying down face forward in front of the ark. But you know what? It could be a little tremor, a little earthquake, something shake it, no problem. So they stood it back up again. And the next morning when they came back, it's laying down, said it was just a stump. Hands were broke off. Can't stand before this one. What does that have to do with us? I was thinking of it this way. God's plan for families, it'll win hands down every time. If we will follow the plan. Following the plan is what is very important for us. So I think about today. I would like for us to spend a little time just going back. Think of the verse that says, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We're bombarded constantly with other plans for families. And yet God has a plan that if we will follow it, we'll find rest in our families. We'll find peace. You know, Jesus said, I've got a peace that I want to give you. It's not like the world will give. He wants to give a peace in families that are following the plan of God. So let's start with the plan this morning. It starts over in Genesis 1 and 26. So in spite of all the emojis that we see that are really backed by some beliefs today, here is the truth. Genesis 1 and 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So it's 27th verse, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Yeah. Male and female created he them. Here is the plan, God's plan set up. No matter what the world decides, this can be set right beside it. God's plan is the one that is guaranteed to work. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. No matter what emojis you see, it was still male and female is what God created. And then it goes on down. God saw in the 31st verse, God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. So the things that he had created in that period of time, which included male and female being created, he saw that it was very good and he had a plan for them. And I want to be able to look at that plan today. Then over in Genesis 2 and 20, you know, you read Genesis 2 up to the 20th verse, and it's given, God's given Adam some instructions. He's got a job to do. One of those jobs was to name all the animals that come by. Have you ever thought about that? Where did he go to learn whatever language he used to start with? You know, when you take a little child, the little child learns words by what he hears from the parent. Adam had no one there, but somehow he had a language that he was able to express his thoughts. This animal, I believe, needs to have this name applied to it. That is an amazing thing that God did by providing that. But after he does it all, in the 18th verse of the second chapter, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'm going to make an helpmeet for him. So I look at this. God said, you know what? He needs somebody to go with him through life. I've thought about this for myself. You know, I believe God looked at me and said, Dan really needs a helpmeet. Because when I was single, I believed in dressing modest. But there were people that told me, Dan, you cannot wear a striped shirt and plaid pants. You can't do it. But I said, you can. They still, the shirt tucks in. What they were meaning is it's not really fit to be doing that. And then when I got married, Cheryl started telling me, Dan, those won't go together. So it was not good that I would be alone, need a helpmeet, not just in that area, but in others. You know, I've had some times where even maybe a business decision that I'm about to make, and Cheryl just quietly would give a little, I don't think I would do that. And I decided it's still the good thing to do. I can see it really coming out well. And then when it crashes, she doesn't have to say anything then. She can just be real quiet. And that's even worse when she wouldn't say anything then. But you know what? This is what is applied right here. God himself saw Adam needs a helpmeet. He needs somebody that walks by his side. So look at starting in the 21st verse. You know, with all these other little plans and everything that we see around, here is the real plan. In the 21st verse, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman. I think it's good for us sometimes to just review the verses again. This is what he did. And also, in our marriages, to realize, you know what? He took the rib from his side and not a bone from his foot. She's not a servant for me. She's a helpmeet that walks side by side with me. I need to be able to remember that. And God, at that time, gave roles for the people, for the two to do. It's good for me to take a look at what those roles are, because I'm looking at the family plan. Today's Mother's Day. But you know what? For a mother to be successful, she's going to have these other parts working right along with her. So let's take a look over it. 3 and 19. This is going to be Adam's part now. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till you return unto the ground. So you know what I need to look at is there is a role for the husband, for the father. His role is to get out and provide so that the mother, will be able to take care of her role. So what does he give for the man? His role is you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Go out there and work hard and bring it in to provide for your family. Well, there's another verse that goes along with that as I look at it, and I've told you this before. But to me, this is should I be a little lazy one morning and I just really don't feel like getting up and going to work? This is my alarm clock that goes right along with the real alarm clock. It's in 1 Timothy 5 and 8 that it just backs it up. If a man provide not for his own and for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. So if my alarm clock goes off and I'm just still feeling kind of lazy, all I need is for that verse to start coming to me a little bit and I say, I'm getting up and getting after it. Yeah. I've got a role to provide. Do you remember just a few years ago, there was a movement that was started. It was called Occupy America. We've almost forgotten about that. There were people that would set up tents in parks and you could not put them out. And it was a movement that I thought, this thing is going to take America. It was a movement of people against corporations and the big businesses and all of those, the people with the money. And I remember even in Oklahoma City, I would go to work in the morning and there was a little park there close to my job. And I would see they had set up tents and they're still laid up in the bed, sleeping in their tents. They're Occupy America. We're against this corporate America that you get out and you work. Well, you know, I got to where I drive by there and I just tap my horn a little bit to let them know, you know what? Some of us still have to get up and go to work. Just want to let you know. Your flaps down. You sleeping in through the day, but just want to let you know. There is this verse right here. I need to get up and with the sweat of my face, I need to provide the bread for my family. Okay, so he gave the role for the man. What was the role for the woman? We find it over in 1 Timothy. I'm glad for these days when we have a day set aside. Here's Mother's Day. To bring in our thoughts and think about what was God's plan for this. Here's the plan, the role for a woman. 1 Timothy 5 and 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, yes, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I think of this family unit as being like a machine. It's got this gear, drives this gear, and then there's production at the end of this, whatever kind of machine it is. I think of our family as being like that. When it's working in unison, the husband is doing his part, the wife is doing her part, the children are following their plan. It's like a well-oiled machine. It's working very smoothly. And I want to look at a verse in Ephesians 4 and 16. We can look at this. It's the church. But I also want to think about it for a family. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, in a family, there is a supply made from each joint. The husband has his role. The wife has her role. Children have their role. And then look what the effect of it. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is a song that we sing, how firm the foundation upon which he builds. It's a structure to glorify God. We can look at the family unit as a building project. How firm the foundation. What's the foundation? It's these scriptures that we have that tell us, here's the way to have a successful home. No matter what the world around says, this is also just as good. I will read sometimes where I'll see this little article and I start reading it and it says, it has been proven that two men can raise a child just as good as a mother can raise a child. And I say, wait a minute, let me just skim on down to the bottom and see who wrote this. And I find out, you know, it's some agenda that's writing it. Because I have to look at two of me cannot raise a child like a mother can. I think of there is a place for a father. And sometimes I remember Brother Dan Adams said when he was raising his boys, he's kind of raising them tough, and said they would come to him, maybe their fingers bleeding or something, and he says, it's too far from your heart for you to die, so let's bandage it up and let's go back to work again. And that's how he raised them. You know what? That's a lot different than a mother would do. The mother would have that little child up on her lap, kissing it and, you know, soothing it, and it's everything's going to be good. You'll live past this and all that. It takes both in a home to be able to balance all that out. And I am thankful for it, that it's able to be like a machine that just runs smooth when every part is putting in their part of it. There's another verse I want to go, because this is more than just the husband and wife. I want to look at Psalms 144 and 12. Because there's a desire that from this, children would be able to be productive also. The 12th verse says, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. Sons be as plants, able to go out and support a family of their own when they've grown. There's a place for a mother. It was just a little bitty clip, and it said, Mary, bear children, three words, guide the house. You know what? That has a whole lot of things involved in guiding the house. It is watching over the children and hitting them in a right direction to where when they get old enough to get on their own, they're able to make good decisions. There is a verse over in Proverbs 29 and 15. Because now we're looking at another part of this family unit. It's the children. We want to have them turn out right. In 29 and 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, I think Mom probably read this verse as we were coming up a little bit. And I believe she decided, it won't be on my watch that I come to shame. I'm going to apply this first part of the verse. The rod of correction is going to help me. And she applied it. Now, She also had another verse probably that she read. It's over in Proverbs 22 and 15. Yeah. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And how are you going to help it? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Yeah. And she took those verses. And there was another one. This verse is not in the Bible. I even looked for it last night. But I think she applied it as if it was in the Bible. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I couldn't find that in the King James Version. Okay. We'll find it after service because I can't find it. Yeah. It tells us the same thing, but it doesn't tell us. I think what it says is, you can beat them with a rod and they won't die. But it's given us that kind of direction. Today is a special day to honor mothers. And you know, I wish mine was here. Yes. To say, thank you.
Yes.
For guiding our house. I never thought about it. When she got through using the rod, and she would say, I'm doing this because I love you. And I thought, whoa, I'm not feeling the love. But you know what she was doing? She was guiding the house. She was moving us through life to where when I come to a point that I say, I'm out of here, I'm on my own now, I have some footing to be able to make some right decisions myself. The whole body fitly joined together, each part of a family unit contributing their part to it for the success of the whole. You know what? To be able to bring children, take them through a place to where they can make right decisions of their own, yeah, and be useful in society is a great benefit. It's a great attribute of a mother. To be able to have a long-term focus, this is what I want to bring my child to. And it's going to take some discipline, it's going to take some loving, it's going to take all these things put together. But she had a goal in mind. There's a picture that I want us to look at of our world, many of people in our world today. It's over in Romans. And as we look at all these other options that are out there in the world today, I just want to say to the Lord, thank you for the role that you had for a mother, for a father, for children, that all together, if we follow the plan, it will give us great peace in our homes. Here's some that chose not to follow the plan. In Romans 1 and 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I just look at that little piece. You know, we can think about those being infidels. We can think, but you know, there's a lot of Christian labeled people that say, I believe this is okay today. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I think that involves more than just my understanding of who God is. But it's taking the word of God and saying, I accept it just like it says. If it says this, I will believe it this way. But these folks did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And here's something that he did. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. There's one piece that I want to look at that is in this list of what happens when you follow that path of not retaining God in your knowledge and God just giving you up and saying, okay, you can go the direction you want to go. You can guide your house however you want to guide it. There's three more words. Without natural affection.
Yes.
You know how valuable that is? Natural affection comes from God, I believe.
Yes.
Like a plant. It's something that needs to be protected and cared for to be able to see the value of it. I was thinking of Heather's little child, less than 1 year old. You can take and hand her a little doll, and instantly she pulls that doll up to her and starts patting it. Where'd that come from? I remember when Heather was little, she had some little dolls, and they might as well have been real individuals because she treated them as such. And maybe the boys would come into the living room and the doll's kind of in the way, so they take it and throw it over on the couch. And you just wound her up. That's her baby right there that you just tossed. You know, she saw that as being the real thing. You know what's happening? Down inside, there was something that God put in. It's called natural affection. And it is so important for us to nurture that, because there's some people in the world that, because they did not retain God in their knowledge, He gave them up to some things. And I think it's very important for us today to be able to understand what's going on in the world, to have a concern for the direction the world's going. But more than that, Lord, help me to follow the plan that You have for me. Want to be able to have natural affection. So there's some family instruction that is given to us. And sometimes we can, as a man, say, I really like this verse right here. Let's take a look at it. In Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wow. And it says a husband is the head of the wife. Now, boy, that sounds pretty good. Sure glad He made me the husband instead of the wife. Unless I keep on reading. Because you know what it does? It all balances itself out.
Yes.
He's the head. That's true. God has made it that way. But then look at this verse in the 25th. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, just a few weeks ago, we saw how much Christ loved not only the church, but all the world.
Yes.
That He gave. First of all, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But Jesus was willing to give His life for the church.
Yes.
But also for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Well, this verse tells us, husbands, after you have gotten the authority that God gave you, your wife is to submit to you. Now, here's what you do, and you watch what the result is that comes from it. Husbands, you love your wives just like Christ loved the church. You know how much He loved the church? Sacrifice was what He was all about. He did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give us an example so that we would follow in the same kind of steps. So I look at these verses, and they're very valuable for us. Is the husband the king? Nope, we keep on reading where he's to love his wife just like Christ loved the church.
Yes.
And gave Himself for it. Now, does that mean I'm going to die tomorrow for Cheryl? No, probably not. But you know what it does is that I sacrifice myself.
Yes.
And what I really need to be thinking about, if I want my wife to do this part up above, submit yourselves to your husbands. You know how easy that's going to be when I have done my part?
Yes.
When I have sacrificed myself. I have some things, you know, that I enjoy doing. It's just what comes natural for me. When I get off work, right now, I'd love just taking my chainsaw and going out in the woods or mowing or something. It's just relaxing. But you know, even with those things that I need to do and I enjoy doing, what if there comes a time where Cheryl says, there's something I need you to do? You know, here's where I need to have this verse just pop in my head. Love your wives like Christ loved the church.
Yes,
and sacrifice. Because you know what? When she's watching and I say, you are number one in my life. And I'll tell you a little example. You know, when we got married, boy, there's some sweet little things that are said in a wedding ceremony. I'm just going to, till death do us part, I'm going to, in sickness and in health, in prosperity and adversity and all these things, I'll be there for you. And I could tell Cheryl, you know what, you are number one in my life. Then I had, and this was years ago, where money is tight. There's not enough to spread around to start with. And I'm up here, I'm the head of this thing, so I'm the chairman of the committee for finances. And so I tell Cheryl, I said, okay, here's what I get, here's what I'm making, here's what we have to live on. You're going to have to cut the grocery budget. Now, you know, I'm the one eating the groceries. I don't know why I touched that one anyhow to start with, because that wasn't going to do anything but hurt me. But I said, okay, cut your grocery budget so we can make it. And so she tried. And then one day, this motorcycle came up for sale. And it was $900. Her groceries was $100 or whatever. But you know what? I had to have that motorcycle. And I could reason it. You know, gas back then was probably 80 cents a gallon or something. I'd save so much money if I get that motorcycle and ride it around. And I bought it. But you know how much that thing cost me? Because it made a statement.
Yes.
It said, I can say it in my words, but my actions prove different. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church.
Yes.
And gave himself for it. And really, this thing is about sacrifice. Today's Mother's Day. But you know what? For a mother to be able to fulfill the parts that God gave for her, the husband has some parts that makes it a lot easier for her to be able to do. You know, obedience from the wife is made a whole lot easier when the husband has done his part. And I say, Lord, help me. You know, you think about instinct. What God put in the animal world, it lets you know from a mother, don't touch my baby. You know, they'll tell you if you go out in the woods and you see this baby cub, bear, don't you go to petting on it and taking it. It might accept it, but mama's going to be coming here in a little bit. You know, we've come to a time where the world itself, the natural animal kingdom, can have some lessons for us as people. I think about, there's been a lot of discussion about abortion rights. And I see these little signs that say, it's a woman's choice. You know, we need to go back to the plan.
Yes.
Because there is a plan available. And we're bombarded with this constantly around us today. Have been for years. You know, natural affection comes from God, but it can be eroded. Think about the verse that says, having a conscience that has been seared with a hot iron, no longer even sensitive to, this is a baby that I'm going to abort here, and easy to be able to make a change. But there's also something else that can happen in the roles of a family. I think about when a father walks away from his home and he leaves the mother to do his role and theirs and hers. You know what? At those times, we have to have God to step in and pick up the gap. And he does that. But we want to never forget what the plan really is.
Yes.
The plan says this part helps this part do this part. And this is the result of it, being able to have children that will come out of this thing as a help to society. For children, you know, there's just a little verse there. Children, obey your parents.
Yes.
In the Lord, for this is right. I can think back of rebelling against the rules of the home. And mom and dad had, they were some of the old-timey people, that they had rules in their home that they would tell me, if you're going to slide your feet under my table and eat my groceries, you're going to obey the rules that I have for my house. And I knew that that's what they meant. And you know what? Now I look back and I appreciate that they held my feet to the fire. So that when I, and you know, at those kind of times, I'd be thinking, boy, when I get to make it on my own, when I get out of here on my own. But I'm glad that what they did was, along with holding me to it while I'm at home, I believe they sent up a whole lot of prayers that I would be able to have my feet on the ground and walking with the Lord myself by the time I left home. So I want to close with another picture. of a woman. Well, before that, I do have another verse in 1 Peter. First Peter, the third chapter, and in the seventh verse. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Part of that knowledge is realizing God made them to be the weaker vessel. But you know what? This, we got to look back and remember where God brought the woman from. It was from the side, not from the foot. Yeah. She wasn't intended to be my servant. I'm glad God gave me a servant to serve me. But instead, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together. You know, I read a little article in a commentary. It said Christianity brought the role of women to a level that no other religion had ever done. Because it tells me here, we're heirs together of the grace of life. She has a good opportunity to make heaven her home herself. And in a family, what we want to do is both help each other to be able to make heaven our home. So now I'd like to close with one more. In Proverbs, and it doesn't give this woman's name, I think it's available for everyone. Proverbs in the 31st chapter, 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The value of something goes higher as it becomes rare. A virtuous woman becomes very valuable as virtuous women become rarities. And I look at this. She has great value. Here's part of the value. In 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. What kind of value can you put in that in the day and time that we're living in the world around us, where they say anything goes, anything is acceptable? Yes. Does the heart of a husband safely trust in somebody that's living that way? No. But the virtuous woman, he can do it. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then take another look at her in 25 and 26. And in between these verses are all the projects that she took on. She wasn't an idle woman. And it says here in 25, strength and honor are her clothing. You remember there's a verse that talks about being clothed with humility. This one, she's clothed with strength and honor, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue, what comes out of this woman's tongue is the law of kindness. This is something that should be not just for a woman, but for a man. That my desire would be, from my tongue comes the law of kindness. That's one of the virtues of this woman. Yes. It says in the 27th verse, she looks well to the ways of her household. You know, here's that little three-word part that God gave a woman, guide your house. And this is part of the guiding that she does. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. And look at the results of it. Her 28th verse, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Marry, bear children, guide the house. And when she has done it, look at the results of her labors. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also praises her. I want to say to God this morning, thank God for his plan for godly women. To be able to take on the roles that God intended for a woman, who can find a virtuous woman in the day and time that we're living in. Her value is still far above rubies.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the opportunity for us this morning to be able to look at the plan. You know what? This plan will work in all generations, in all walks of life, with any kind of people. What it starts with is God set it in motion, and He will back it up to where there will be success in a home. And where there is a part that is lacking, you know, in a machine, if you have one gear that breaks a few teeth off, it's going to affect the whole machine. It may not, none of it may work. I'm glad that God has a backup plan. For times where one part fails, God will step in and fill that gap to where success can still be provided. But I thank the Lord for the plan that He has. I desire your prayers.